If I had a title of my message, it would be Faith. Are you in or out? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. I want y'all to mull that over in your head while we do this lesson. Faith, are you in or out? Kind of wait because I know that's not a book that we normally go to, but if I had a favorite Old Testament book, I believe mine would be Joshua. I just absolutely love it. Everybody got it? All right, here we go. I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. And it says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for Asher Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. He lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from the place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that they may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed by this before.' And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in sight of all Israel, and they may know as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.' So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you before the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men, and from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet and the priests who bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from the upstream, and they shall stand at a heap.' So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeredan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over the opposite of Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant and the people who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." Okay, let me set the scene for you. Moses has died, and now Joshua is the new leader. So the same promises that God gave to Moses, he also gave to Joshua. As well as he gives to us today. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to Joshua chapter 1. And it's a promise that he gives us. Anybody see it? It's a command. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courageous. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How comforting is that to know that the God of the universe is with us wherever we go. Wherever we go. Folks, he didn't say, okay, if this doesn't work, then, you know, y'all are kind of on and on your own. He didn't say, you know, since the flood waters are up, you know, y'all are on your own. No, he said, wherever you go, I'm there with you. Here's the thing. That's not just a promise. That's a command. Four times in chapter 1, God tells Joshua this promise. 365 times in the Bible, God tells us, do not be afraid nor dismayed. 365 times. If it's in the Bible that many times, don't you think it's pretty important? So here we are. Joshua finds himself on the banks of the Jordan. But there is a problem. Two problems. One problem, as we already read, the river is at flood stage. The river is moving very swiftly. But there's another problem. There's 2 million of them. And that's not just something that you're going to say, hey, let's just go around the Jordan. Not going to happen. So here's the deal. They're fixing to display a great sense of faith. You always hear that story. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can what? Move mountains. Here's the thing. And I'm going to ask you this question right now. How big is your faith? How big is your faith? Is it big enough to do what Joshua is doing? To lead 2 million people? Ask the first over, how many business owners do we have here? Business owners? Your business? Okay. Do you have 2 million people working for you? I think you would stroke out. I know I would. Joshua had 2 million people. Look at verse 4 again of chapter 3. He said, yet there shall be a space between you. Sorry, y'all. There shall be a space between you and it, and 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed by this before. What is God telling him? Don't go ahead of me. Don't go ahead of me. And how many times do we get great ideas and we go before God? And God is going, wait a minute, I'm here. Wait on me. Or you have this great idea that I can do it better, or I'll start something, and usually we fall flat on our faces. as a church, but not this church. How many times do we get ahead of God? How many times do we, in our own personal life? All right, now look at verse 5 of chapter 3. And this is really cool what he said. And Joshua said, sanctify yourself. That one says consecrate, which is the same thing. For tomorrow the Lord will do what? Wonders among you. See, he tells them to sanctify himself. He tells them to do this. He's telling them to get ready. It's a cleansing process. He's telling them to get rid of anything in there that basically does not bring glory to God. Here's the truth. What if we, as people of Mesa Christian Fellowship, did that before we encountered God? What if we got ourselves ready and said, God, I expect you to show up today? Why? Because tomorrow God will do wonders among you. Do we expect God to move in our lives? Do we expect God to show up and do the things that God can only do? Because here's the problem, folks. A lot of times we limit God's power. We put God in this box and we say, okay, God, you can only do this. And God's going, no, I've got so much more that I want to do. But that doesn't fit into our budgets or whatever. And God going, where is your faith at? Notice what he says. For tomorrow, God's going to do wonders among you. If we had that same attitude that Joshua did, we would turn Pueblo upside down for Christ. Do you take that song that the band sang seriously? Because he is the God of this city. Notice what he said among, who? You. And this is where their faith is fixing to be tested. See, God puts God-sized tasks in front of us. That way God gets the glory for it. See, if God just put a little small task in front of us, then it'd be done and we get to pat on the back, and that's not no good. I don't want the pat on the back. But if God does a super task, then God gets the glory for it. Here's another thing. I don't think it's a coincidence that the people leading the charge and carrying the Ark of the Covenant are the priests. Those are God's people. And so now we're fixing to see their faith into action. We're fixing to be put to, as they climb the mountain and they reach the other side, and how many of them probably thought, nah, let's do this another day. You know, it's okay. We'll just kind of hang out here. You know, a couple of months, the water will recede and we can go on. Or how about this one? How many of them probably thought, you know what? I'm in the front of the line. I'm headed to the rear of the line now. But here's where their faith gets tested. Look at verse 14, please. So it was. This is an affirmation of faith. You see, without these three words, then God did a miracle without faith. They could not throw a stick in. They couldn't put a finger in. What'd they have to do? They couldn't just put one foot in. What'd they have to do? Both feet. I remember as a child, my dad would take us fishing. Me and my brothers would go fishing with him, and I'd always ask, how deep are we? And, you know, you got a 5-foot paddle, and he'd say, stick that paddle down there. Stuck it down there, and I always felt real safe when I could touch the bottom. But there were times that I could not feel the bottom, and there was a sense of insecurity for me. Isn't that the way that God works? See, folks, if we can touch it and smell it and all this and that, it's not faith. God says, your security is in me. You see, faith does not exclude fear. Faith excludes inaction. Faith is a verb. I've had faith and been scared. But if you have faith, you cannot sit still. What you don't see is this, is everybody running to the front of the line. But what you do see is that they all acted in faith. And that's exactly what happened to me and my family. It was one of the scariest things that we've ever did. I had a good job. I had a good home. My kids were in a very good school. We dropped everything and followed him. Why? Because it's faith. Folks, and that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient to him. And because of their faith, they made it into the promised land. Because of mine and Wendy's faith, and please don't put this, we've seen somebody come to know Christ. What is yours? Because of your faith, what can you say? I want to read you this. It says, wherever God leads us, there's an umbrella of protection that stays over our head. Under that umbrella are the divine resources of wisdom, grace, and finances, and all the other things we need to do what God has allowed us to do. That don't mean there won't be difficulties. But wherever the Lord leads, he must by necessity help us out. So let me ask you, church family, where is your Jordan? You see, we're all standing at the Jordan River. And God is dealing with each and every one of us here. Mine was Oakwood Estates. I'm not saying that God won't continue to move me. That's up to him. And what is your Jordan? your Jordan could be to actually help us out at Oakwood. What about Lake Avenue? What about VBS? We just saw a miracle. Every one of those kids were saved during VBS. Yeah, it's time. It sure is. But look at the miracle. Here's the thing. What God-sized task is God telling you to do? And yes, I said God-sized task. And it's an absolute certainty that everyone is standing on the banks of the Jordan River. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. As they're coming up, I want to make one more statement. And here's this. God has every right to intervene in your life at any time to bring him glory. Here's the thing, folks. I'm going to do something a little different with Brother Shane's permission. I'm going to have what's called an invitation. God could be dealing with you. I'm going to be down front if you want me to pray for you. If you want Brother Shane to pray with you, this is God's time. I could care less about that clock. This is God's time. This is time for you to do business with God. What is your Jordan? Your Jordan could be to accept Christ. Have you? Your Jordan could be to go on a short-term mission trip. Or what about relocating your family? We did. My son's a senior in high school. He left his friends. He left everything. Left family. We left family. We didn't know nobody. Just a couple of people. My daughter was a sophomore. She was in cheerleading. She was student council. She was in everything.
The whole time I was hearing Jamie speak first and second service, the one thing that kept coming to mind is something that somebody told me a long time ago, and that's that the safest place in all the world to be is within the will of God. I don't know what God's laying on your heart or how he's challenging you today, but know that that scary step, that step of faith, that's the safest place to be. There's no guarantees as you're going about your own plan for your own life, but the minute you follow God, we have that guarantee. Be strong, be courageous, for wherever you go, I'm with you. When I lead you, I'm there, and I'm the umbrella of protection over you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jamie and Wendy. Thank you for the word that he has shared with us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises to us. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that not a single one of the lives here is a mistake. Father, thank you that before a day came to be, you knew our lives completely. Thank you that you count every hair on our heads. And thank you, Father, that you have a plan for us. Father, I just ask that you would lead through the power of your Holy Spirit, strengthen each one of us to step into whatever that is that you have for us, Father. And Lord, I ask that you be with those who are here today who have never maybe taken their first step into the Jordan, who have never listened and followed your voice into that wonderful place of salvation, that place where we submit, where we give up our lives, and where we turn to Jesus to save us, to forgive us, to make us brand new, so that we can live abundant lives in you. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for your incredible love that we could never express, our praise and our glory. The love that we have for you, Father, is so small, so minuscule compared to who you are and what you've done for us. But Father, today we come and we say thank you, and we say that we love you And we ask that you strengthen us and guide us into whatever the next step is that you have for us. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.